In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to the late edition of Thy Ryan in English News with me, Niwachitsos. The latest from Egypt has it that Egypt's army chief, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, ousted President Mohamed Morsi on Wednesday and declared the head of the Supreme Constitutional Court as the caretaker leader. Sisi also announced the freezing of the draft constitution and early presidential elections. This comes just hours after Morsi refused to quit, saying he had been freely elected to lead Egypt and intended to stick to his task. Morsi, who was talking in a televised interview, also proposed a consensus government as a way out of the country's crisis. Morsi reiterated his call for a national dialogue and the formation of a panel to amend the country's controversial drafted constitution. Morsi has been moved to an undisclosed location. The Iranian president has pointed out that his government attracted entire world's attention towards Iran and affected the internal and international dialogue. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad made a remark while presenting a work report of his government's performance during his two-term presidency in a live TV program late Wednesday. Ahmadinejad said the result of his government's work is affecting many of the internal and international relations. He noted that his government's conduct also affected the political and economic orientations. Referring to justice as one of his government's priorities, Ahmadinejad said, justice is to distribute opportunities equally, adding the 10th government has done a lot to bring economic and social justice to all walks of the country. President Ahmadinejad further referred to targeted subsidies plan as one of his justice-expanding projects. The president also reminded that during his presidency, there were lots of problems across the globe, including world economic recession and U.S. invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan. Iran's president-elect Hassan Rouhani says moderation and rationality can steer the country past domestic, regional, and international problems. During a meeting with a group of Iranian clerics, Rouhani said, the government should work to ensure the people's security and livelihood and protect their rights. Stressing the necessity of avoiding extremism, Rouhani said people must feel secure with regards to the international situation and they must have political and economic security. Rouhani pointed out that, however, the 11th government should be given the necessary time and opportunity, and people are well aware that they should solve the problems through patience. Commenting on the relationship between the people and the clergies, Rouhani said, the clergies are the voice of the people and act as intermediaries between the people and the government, highlighting that, in the current situation, where people hope for change and improvement, there should not be a wedge between the government, the clergy, and the society. An Iran deputy oil minister has ruled out the possibility of sanctions against Iran's petrochemical products, saying the global demand precludes such a move. Abdul Hussein Bayat said, due to the country's capabilities in petrochemical industry, high demand in international markets, and the diversity of these markets, imposing sanctions against the petrochemical products of the country is not possible. Bayat said, with regard to the supplementary petrochemical industries, raw materials are abundant in Iran and the country's sellable products in the field amount to 40 million tons. The official underlined that Iran has given a proposal to the P5+1 group for lifting some of the unilateral embargoes which pertain to petrochemical industry. Iran has commemorated the 25th anniversary of the downing of an Iran Air Flight 655 by the U.S. Navy in the port city of Bandar Abbas. The Iranian nation threw flowers in the Persian Gulf to mark the incident. Iran Air Flight 655 was on a routine flight from Iran's southern city of Bandar Abbas to Dubai when it was shot down by the United States Navy's missile cruiser USS Winston on July 3, 1988, killing all 290 passengers on board, including 66 children and crew members. Iran ranks first in nanoscience in the region and the eighth in the world by producing 4% of the world's nanoscience. Addressing the first specialized seminar on nanotechnology and electricity and energy on Wednesday in Tehran, Secretary of the Headquarters for Development of Nanotechnology said, production of nanoscience has taken an increasing trend as the country has advanced 50 levels from the year 2000 to 2012. Said Sarkar explained that the Headquarters for Development of Nanotechnology was set up in 2003, with main priorities including energy, health, water, environment, and construction works. He added, based on the latest statistics, 10 articles were released every day in 2012, while the figure for the whole year of 2000 was 8. Hezbollah Secretary General says the Takfiri militants fighting in Syria are seeking to divide Shia and Sunni Muslims. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah made the remark while discussing the Syria conflict with the members of the Lebanese resistance movement. He said the al-Qaeda-linked Takfiri militants were trying to sow discord between Shia and Sunni Muslims in Syria. Nasrallah, however, added that the Syrian government would eventually end the conflict with victory. Nasrallah further said there was an American-Israeli anti-Takfiri project to destroy not only Syria, but the entire region. Meantime, the United Nations Humanitarian Aid Chief has called for supporting Lebanon to manage Syrian refugees. Valeria Amos stated that the government and people of Lebanon have opened their borders and doors to their Syrian neighbors in time of need. She said the crisis is taking a toll on the economy and on the provision of basic services. The latest figures from the UN High Commissioner for Refugees indicate that over 500,000 Syrians have sheltered in Lebanon after fleeing unrest in their country. The Pakistani government has strongly condemned the latest U.S. drone strike in Miran Shah in North Waziristan. Pakistani officials said the U.S. drones fired 4 missiles at a house in Miran Shah, which killed 17 people and severely injured 6 others. Meanwhile, Pakistani medics reported that the missiles have contaminated the environment with unknown chemicals. They said the chemicals caused skin, eye, and respiratory illnesses. This is the second drone strike on Pakistan after Nawaz Sharif was elected as Prime Minister on June 5, 2003. Meanwhile, in Afghanistan, another U.S.-led airstrike killed at least 20 people and injured 9 others in eastern province of Khost. The Afghan army said the airstrike took place in the town of Musa Khal. Washington claims the U.S.-led airstrikes target Taliban militants, but reports on the ground show that civilians have been the main victims. Several hundred young people from different EU countries protested against rising youth unemployment. Protesters demanded decisive measures against youth unemployment during a protest in Berlin, Germany. Youth unemployment in Greece and Spain is hovering near 60%, while in Italy and Portugal it stands above 40%. Overall, close to 6 million people between the ages of 15 to 24 are without a job, sparking talk of a lost generation and fears of destabilizing social unrest.
We are young and we don't want to be a lost generation because most of young people don't have any work, any job, and that's why we are here.
We are protesting against useless policy of conservative governments, and we need solution because unemployment of youth is a real big problem, also in our grand country, in the Czech Republic.
Portuguese Prime Minister said he would not resign after Foreign Minister resigned earlier in the day, plunging the country into a political crisis that could upset its smooth exit from an international bailout. A correspondent in Lisbon has more.
The government is collapsing like a house of cards. After the finances minister, Vitor Gaspar, requested to leave 2 days ago, this Tuesday was the time of the foreign affairs minister to announce his resignation. In a blind alley, the Prime Minister, Pedro Passos Coelho, ended up losing his 2 main ministers and is now watching the other party of the governmental coalition stepping out of the ship. While the country's present and future look more uncertain than always, people remain calm and waiting for the story to unfold. Today, the markets woke up stressed and registering the worst results since 1998. The international investors seem more nervous than the Portuguese. At this moment, the second party of the government, CDS, is gathering to discuss the next moves and to announce the resignation of 2 other ministers, Assunção Esteves, responsible for agriculture, and Pedro Mota Soares, Minister of Social Security. As a Portuguese politician was saying yesterday, the situation now in the country seems like watching Titanic sinking. While the Prime Minister refuses to abandon the government, everyone here in the country expects the captain, the President of the Republic, to decide if it's time or not to abandon this ship. Inês Subtil, Shabaka Kevar, Lisbon.
In Turkey, a court has blocked a redevelopment project at Istanbul's central Taksim Square. The decision came after the country was rocked by 4 weeks of anti-government protests. The court ruling is seen as a big blow to Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan, but a great victory for the opposition, which has been staging nationwide rallies against it. Istanbul has been the epicenter of anti-government demonstrations since May 31st. The protests soon spread to other cities across the country and turned into calls for the resignation of the Turkish Prime Minister. Several people have been killed in the violent crackdown on peaceful protesters, who Erdogan has described as foreign-backed extremists and terrorists. Indonesian National Disaster and Mitigation Agency said rescue operations are continuing as the death toll from the quake rises to 24 in Aceh province. The quake, measuring 6.2 magnitude, had struck the northern tip of Indonesia's Sumatra Island on Tuesday.
We received reports from locations that at least 24 people have died, 2 missing and 249 injured. The earthquake caught communication lines, so it hampered our communication with local staff.
And finally, Greece has 3 days to reassure Europe and the International Monetary Fund that it can deliver on conditions attached to its international bailout in order to receive the next tranche of aid. If they fail, the International Monetary Fund might have to withdraw from the 240 billion euro bailout to avoid violating its own rules, which require a borrower to be financed a year ahead.
Greece has only 3 days left to reassure the Troika it can handle promised changes in order for a new international bailout tranche to be disbursed during Monday's Eurogroup meeting. With the Troika of international creditors back to Athens, the new coalition government comprised of the center-right New Democracy and the center-left PASOK is now under heavy pressure to complete negotiations on time. Yet all parties involved seem to agree that Greece has still a lot to deliver when it comes to tax collection, healthcare reforms and layoffs in the public sector. Eurozone finance ministers are scheduled to meet on July 8th and discuss the situation in Greece. In this context, sources mention it is possible creditors might refuse to pay the full sum in one single package in order to put more pressure for the reforms to take place swiftly. And while negotiations are unraveling behind closed doors, the people of Greece and especially its younger generation is still suffering from long-term unemployment. Every day, hundreds of people are queuing at local employment offices, while the applications for temporary and low-paid jobs are mounting up. The manager of a local employment office talked to IRIN TV to shed some light on the real conditions and problems they are facing. In an especially fragile sector of the Greek economy, healthcare, talks between foreign creditors with the health ministry regarding the deficit of the National Healthcare Provision Organization went well, and the two sides agreed there is no reason for any further cuts. In parallel, the Troika has asked for changes to the procedure for group layoffs, insisting that the new system will have to become more flexible. With summertime getting closer, people might take a small break from their problems. Yet, closed shops and jobless people will be here to remind them of their harsh reality in a longer-term perspective. The Troika of international creditors comprised of the EU, the ECB and the IMF is back to Athens to check on the progress made by the Greek government as far as privatization program is concerned and the liberalization of services. With 1.5 million people unemployed in Greece currently looking for work, the social aspect of the crisis is expected to be tackled, especially as far as youth unemployment is concerned. Lagos Romanos, Shovake Kabar, Athens.
And that's a wrap for now. Goodbye.